Welcome to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, brought to you by Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. The Rapala family of fishing products, including VMC hooks and 13 fishing rods, reels, and more. And the Bass Angler Sportsman Society. Now, here's your host, lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the St. Croix Bassmaster Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Strike King Bassmaster College Series and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. Now, the Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, High School National Championship, College National Championship, and the College Bracket Event, leading to a Bassmaster Classic berth. Our first cast segment of the show is brought to you by 13 Fishing, and we have a great deal for you right now. The Gerald Swindle Design Meta Series Rods and Inception G2 Reels are available at 13fishing.com, along with all their other great products, and for a limited time, you can get 20% off your entire order by using the discount code BASSRADIO20. That's BASSRADIO20, only at 13fishing.com. Now, I fish these rods and reels myself and could not be happier. Get 20% off with the code BASSRADIO20. Well, as we speak, the elites are at Santee Cooper for the AFCO Bassmaster Elite, and we'll have a full report on that next week. But last week, it was the Marathon Elite at Lake Murray, and the star may have been Murray, where it took over 87 pounds to win the four-day derby. Drew Benton finished with a 6 and a 5-pounder to win by a pound and a half over Hunter Shryock, who had the second largest bag of Championship Sunday. Both Benton and Shryock are coming up on the show today. But first, a little sponsor spotlight segment with the marathon man, Jeff Kolasinski from Hummingbird, Minn Kota. Now, we have been seeing fascinating pictures from Mega Live on Bassmaster Live all season, and really, it's just incredible. How does that technology work, and what makes Live different from the Hummingbird 360? I am now running a 360, and it is a game changer for sure. Kolo joins us now on a VMC Redline hook. Jeff, welcome back to the show. How are you?
What a great segue, because I do use a VMC in my, you know, my other job, the marathon man. But the day job is here, and that's with Hummingbird. And it was a lot of fun to watch some of the competitors, especially, let's go back to the Bassmaster Classic with Gussie, and a remarkable performance. But watching what he could see on his screen really was our intent with this. And so one of the things we love to do at Hummingbird is kind of reveal the unknown. None of us had X-ray vision to see under the water, so we all rely on our sonar in whatever form it could be. It could be standard 2D sonar, side imaging, or 360 or Mega Live, whatever your favorite flavor is, whatever your favorite brand is for that matter. That's how we get to see underneath the water. But there's always this thing, like you're watching Bass Live and, you know, some phenomenal camera work happens. Hats off to the camera crew. And they're leaning over the angler's shoulder and whatever else. But now we were able to come up with a way with one of our Apex units that has an HDMI out port. And we're able to hook that up with some media capturing devices and actually give the audience, Tom, a perfect view of what Gussie was looking at the whole time. So there's no raindrops on the screen, nothing like that. Yeah. You get to see exactly what he was looking at.
It's so educational, because that's the thing that a lot of people are struggling with forward-facing sonar. They're like, but how does it work? What am I looking at? And I have been in a boat with guys that have it, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I don't know what you're seeing. But now that we're seeing it as the anglers are fishing it, it's like an instructional video that sometimes goes on for hours.
And you're right, in those elements. It's instructional. I'm going to add humbling to that, Tom, because, you know, as anglers, we would look at, you know, something on the screen. You find a brush pile, a cane bed, or whatever else on 360, and then you're throwing, you're flipping a jig, you're working that piece of structure. And after a while, you'll be like, oh, there's no fish here. I'm going. And now you have a live beam that sees fish in real time, and you get to look at exactly how that fish is reacting to your presentation. And there's a lot of times, and this is where the humbling part comes in, that they look at your jig and like, I don't like what you're throwing, fella. Right. I'm out of here. Or that you may get a turn of a fish and you're able to kind of understand the body language and the attitude of the fish. So, yes, there's an educational component, But sometimes you get a little frustrated. I'm like, they're not biting. But what you are able to do at that point is just start to switch it up. I know that fish are there. They just didn't like that presentation. It allows you to kind of go through your box of tools.
It's kind of funny because it reminds me, as a kid growing up, I would fish the clear lakes of Central Florida where my grandparents lived. And we would sight fish, right? And I'd see fish on a bed and everything. And I know they're there. I see them. I see the one, the bucks cruising around it. I see the females on the bed, and I'd throw into the bed. I'm 10, 11, 12 years old, throw my lure into the bed, and they're not reacting. And I'm like, I can't believe it. I know they're right there. I can't catch them. But sometimes, you know, with live, I mean, is okay. Yes, there they are. There's a school. There's a fish. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to bite, that they're active and so on. So for that part of it, it's a little bit frustration. At least you know you're around fish and you're not fishing the Dead Sea. But on the other hand, it could be so frustrating because you can't get them to bite.
Totally. And there are a lot of people that, you know, on the margins of fishing or don't know the sport at all, and they turn into bass live. I'm like, oh my gosh, look, you've got $5,000, $10,000, $30,000 of electronics on there. You should be able, you know, of course you're catching every fish. And at the end of the day, those little pea brains have a free will and they bite or don't bite. Right. And, but now we get to see what they're doing and, yeah, and learn with it.
Jeff Kolosinski with us from Hummingbird. What can be next? Because we know what you guys did with Mega Live and what you do with Mega Imaging, where it became so incredibly clear on the Mega Imaging, on the down imaging. Where can this go? I mean, are we going to start seeing more colors? Does it get even clearer? Because we know that it's not like the folks at Hummingbird are going to sit back and say, all right, we nailed it. What's next, do you think? Where does this go?
I can neither confirm nor deny anywhere it would go, Senator.
No, we're done.
I'm so blessed to work in the industry. And I'm going to say it, Garmin, Lowrance, other great competitors. But there is sonar wars, and we're all competing for that next revelation, that next breakthrough. And so, you know, all those camps are feverishly working on things, and we are as well. And so occasionally I do get to look behind Oz's curtain and see what's happening. I can just tell you in general that there is a schedule of things that we work on, and we bring them out regularly over this and the coming years.
There you go. All right. So yeah, in other words, they didn't,
frustratingly general, but I have to be.
They didn't lay off all the engineers. That's what you're telling me. Basically, those guys are still doing it. They're still working.
No, we are adding.
All right.
We are adding.
Jeff Kolosinski with us. All right. So debunk a myth or confirm a myth for us. When it comes to sonar or imaging, shallow water fishing, we're seeing more and more guys turn it off in the shallow water, whenever, because they feel like the noise is being made. And so what is Hummingbird's stance on that? Does the sonar ping really affect the fish? Can you leave imaging on and turn sonar off? Explain that to us a little bit.
Well, that's a very good question. I'm going to go right to the end of your question and say that's a personal choice. There are people that will only put their left shoe on, lace that up on Championship Sunday, right? It's got to go left shoe, then right shoe. That's just how they roll. They've got a particular way they go about things. Yes, while your sonar is pinging, that little click, that sonar click, is going out, and it is audible. It's audible to your ears. When you're in the garage, when the boat launch, you can hear your sonar click. It's not very loud, and it's reasonable to say, I guess, you know, at different frequencies, it might sound differently to a fish. I've not been a fish. I don't know. But there are anglers who say in shallow water, I want to be as stealthy as I can possibly be, and they do choose to turn that off. I don't know that there's been any data or any objective surveys to say, or studies that say, this is what you need to do. There is, it's really easy. You can press the power button on your Hummingbirds, right, and up pops a quick menu. So it's as quick as that. And you can turn off your sonar pinging. You go to get back up on pad. You go to the next spot in the milk run. You touch power button, and that quick menu comes up. We just want to make it easy for the angler and really lean into how are anglers using sonar units. And that's one of the things that we do. Yes, there's exceptional technology, but we still make it be easy to operate your units. And at the end of the day, it's a personal choice. If you feel like you need to be silent and stealthy, so be it. Generally, by that time, you have, you know, found the fish, and you may not rely on sonar in very, very shallow water. But
All right, before I let you go, I got to ask you about mapping, because the Lake Master mapping is absolutely incredible. That has gotten better and better and better. They add more and more bodies of water all the time. And, you know, this has been something that's so useful that I don't know, as a guy now who's been fishing for 35 or 40 years, I don't know how we got around. I don't know how we got around without it before. I still carry paper maps around in my boat. I don't know how we got around before we had this, but, you know, just tremendous job with the mapping.
I appreciate that. And there's a team of talented engineers that go, and our philosophy has always been with Humminbird Lake Master to go out and survey the water ourselves, to do multiple passes, to understand exactly to 1 foot or less what is going on in the bottom contours. Where is the hard bottom? Where is the soft bottom? Because that is the data that anglers rely on. So for us, we were not really able to just to take general data and be good with that. And so we have come up with a number of maps, and we've upped those with our new VX series of maps. Update faster than ever, more accurate than ever. And it is an indispensable tool for fish finding, is your map. And for what I remember, like you, paper maps, you'd go into the lodge where you're staying, Gunnersville, Lake Vermilion, Minnesota. The lodge owner would get out the Sharpie marker and say, go fish on this point, right? That's as sophisticated it was back in the day. But now you can know within a foot exactly the depth, exactly the proximity to a weed line, a break line, and finding fish has never been more efficient. And that's one of the big efficiencies of Humminbird, is the cartography, the Lake Master mapping that drives those, and it drives anglers to success.
Yeah, I actually take my my old maps with all the markings on them, and I just convert it over, you know, onto waypoints on my on my Lake Master maps. It's fantastic. Jeff Kolosinski has been our guest. Kolo, I appreciate you so much, man. We'll catch up again.
Stay well. Thanks, Tom.
We're going to break in here when we come back. Hunter Shryock is up next on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And now a chance to talk. Look, it was all Phoenix at the top of the leaderboard. I'm going to tell you, I don't make this up. I don't just get Phoenix guys on the show because we're Phoenix guys. It just worked out that way that Drew Benton won. He's a Phoenix guy. And coming in second was Hunter Shryock. I thought he won a tournament. I honestly thought he had won the tournament. And I hated having to contact him ahead of time and say, hey, you know, can you come on this week? Because I thought it was so heartbreaking. But what are you going to do when a guy catches a 5 and a 6 in the last, you know, hour of the tournament like Drew Benton did? And Hunter handled it extremely well and gave us some great footage, especially on Championship Sunday. And he joins us now to talk about what he did out there. And he is on the VMC hook. Hunter, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. It's better than the last time you had me on here, that's for sure. I think we were talking about the classic cut line.
Yes.
So it's still kind of relatively the same thing, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was heartbreaking, but you handled it really well. I was impressed with your comments afterwards that, look, you know, he beat me. Look, you come in with 21 and a half pounds on Championship Sunday, and you get beat. You got beat. You didn't do anything to lose that. You got beat.
Yeah, 100%. And we all knew, I think everybody knew, the person that got the 25 pounds was going to win the tournament. And honestly, that was my goal going into that day, was to catch that 24 to 25 pounds. And, you know, you know, when someone does that, all you can do is take your hat off, shake their hand, and just, you know, congratulate them, because they did what they needed to do. And the other goal that I had was to fish perfect, meaning catch everything that bites. And if you can do that on the final day of the tournament, you know, what else more could you do? And I did that. So, you know, it's still a great, great finish. We put on a good show. I think, you know, Lake Murray definitely showed out, probably some of the better live coverage we've had. I feel like from everybody,
yeah,
the amount of fish catches and the quality of fish, the way we were catching them, super cool to see the fans and see the engagement from it all.
It's
a win-win for everyone, I think.
It's amazing the number of 20-pound bags. I mean, all, you know, so many 20-pound bags in this tournament, not just on Championship Sunday, but throughout this tournament. And, you know, and you were right there, you know, 18.5 on day three, but the rest of your bags all over, you know, 21 pounds plus. So, you know, the lake really did show out. Had you been there before?
I had been there back in 2019. The first week of April, I went before our Hartwell tournament. And then I also pre-fished it before our event, right before the cutoff. I spent about 5 days there. And it, you know, most of the time that doesn't really help me a whole lot. But I felt like for this event, it helped me in the sense of knowing how well the fishery was, like knowing the size of fish that were in there and how many of them, and knowing that you couldn't be content with 15 or 17 pounds. And I feel like a lot of guys got caught off guard by that. After the first day, they had 18 or 19 pounds, and then they come in and they're in 30th place or something. So just an absolute dynamite fishery. And, you know, hopefully we get to go back very, very soon, because it's definitely on the uptrend.
Yeah, I know. I would think that you would. Hunter Shryock with us, finished second at the Marathon Elite, Bassmaster Elite at Lake Murray this past week. And, of course, as you're hearing this right now, Hunter is out there. I've predicted he's made the cut, and he's still fishing. As those of you to listen to this over the weekend, that he's still fishing at Santee Cooper. We'll see how all of that works out, but it's the miracle of technology that we're able to talk to him here today about the way things went last week. And you gave us some incredible footage for sure. Take us through the 6.5 pounder that gets tangled up under the dock. I was a nervous wreck, and I'm just watching it on TV. I am not a guy that likes to throw a spinning rod very often. I'm a power fisherman and usually have 17 to 20 pound, you know, fluorocarbon on, and for those situations. But you, being as athletic as you are, able to lay on the front deck and stay in the boat and then feed your rod underneath the stanchions of the dock and save that fish. Just take us through that fish catch with 10-pound line, because that was crazy.
Yeah, it was. And the whole thing was, I had to put that Wacky Worm Berkeley Maxent General into the shallowest part of the dock. And if I didn't put it there more times than not, I didn't get a bite. And so right away, I was already putting myself at risk, putting the bait there. But knowing that that's where those fish are, they're in 6 to 8 inches of water, basically. And when I skipped it up there, she ate it, and she immediately swam up under that dock post. And really, the day before, on day three, I had lost one probably about the same size, because I tried to horse it out from one of those docks. And I had her completely coming out, and she hit she was wide open, ready to come in, and she pulled off. And so all I could think of was in my head was, Hunter, don't lose this fish because I pulled too hard. So I pretty much knew the fish was going to come off just because of how she had me wrapped up. But I'm just like, let the fish go and break me off on its own will. Don't pull too hard. And, you know, I was actually pretty calm in the moment, just because I knew it wasn't a very good situation. You know, your hands are tied at that point. But, you know, one thing led to the other. I knew that fish wasn't going to come back through the cross member that it had gone through, because it was literally the size of a basketball, the hole that it swam through. So I fit the rod down through there. And once I got through that, there's a vine hanging off my braid. I get through that. And the next thing I know is the fish is under the boat, wrapped around the dock post. And at that point, it's like, it's going on over a minute. And that fish completely just wore herself out, to the point that once I put a little bit of pressure on her, she started coming back, and I got really, really fortunate to catch her. I mean, if you had to do that 100 times, I don't think you could ever do it again the way that it was. But honestly, if I did not have Berkeley Trilene fluorocarbon line, I probably would have never landed that fish. I've used that line for so many years now, being able to use it for multiple days as a leader.
Yeah.
So I kind of know how strong it is. It's just a matter of being patient and, not letting that fish, that you pull into that fish too hard. So that was the biggest thing.
It was amazing. I don't know, have you seen the live coverage of it yet with the commentary? Because Mark Zona had us in stitches. I mean, Zona, when you said he goes under the boat, Mark Zona starts using Jaws references. He's under the boat. You know, I got 3 barrels on him, and he's under the boat. I mean, it was hilarious.
I did not get to.
Oh, you got to see it.
I have not heard the live. Yeah.
Yeah.
All I've been able to do is hear it. Or I've watched just the normal live coverage.
Yeah.
Without them commentating, but I'm sure they've had, I know someone else that I kissed a fish that had the chopo in its face, and I kissed the fish, and they were talking. I did a couple stupid things throughout the week.
But well, the under the boat comment is straight out of Jaws, long before you were born. But that's a line right out of Jaws when the shark goes under the boat, and you're like, he's under the boat, or she's under the boat, and so Zona starts making references to Jaws. It was crazy stuff. Now, with those, I mean, with that, is that bed? I mean, is that a fish on bed? Is that why you had to throw it up there, that shell? Because I thought the water was like 70 degree water, and you know, it would seem to be that's post spawn time. But were those bedding fish that you had to throw to that were that shallow?
I don't think. There may have been some bedding fish that I caught, but the majority of those fish were blueback herring eaters that in the morning they wouldn't even be there. And as the sun would come up, it would create shade lines on the bank. Mm. And there would just be about 2 foot of water on those banks, a foot to 2 foot. And with that, some of those bluebacks, not all of them, but there would be a group of bluebacks that would swim up and down those shade lines, and they'd be spawning. And so you got the shad spawn going on in the middle of the day.
Right.
And then you would have a group or wolf packs of largemouth that would be in very key stretches. And I learned that throughout the week. Like, it wasn't everywhere. But once I figured out, okay, this one's, you know, this stretch is good, that stretch. And dialing it in with a chopo, the first day I caught them all on the top water.
Right.
And then as the tournament went on, I threw up by a dock and about 10 of them. I'm talking 10 4 to 5 pound largemouth come chasing after the top water, but it was too late. And I'm like, Hunter, you got to start fishing these docks, you know. Duh. So that's kind of how the wacky worm evolved throughout the tournament. And they kind of got off the top water and the wacky worm pulled through for me.
Yeah. All right. In our last minute, you got to explain to us what the emotional moment was, because you catch a 4.5 pounder on a wacky worm and you get them in. You're talking to yourself. You've done this a million times. You land the fish and you get choked up. Explain to us what was going on at that moment, because it had a lot of the viewers choked up as well.
Yeah. You know, I lost my dad recently around Thanksgiving this past year. And, if anybody that knows my dad knows how proud he would be to be watching that stuff right then. So it just really caught up to me. It's catching up to me right now, actually, just talking about it. But, you know, and just knowing that he's up there watching, and to catch that fish that early, because I hadn't been getting bit that early, it was just a special moment. You know, something told me that he said good job. So it was a... It was real, for sure.
Good stuff. Really appreciate your faith too out there, and you're not afraid to show your faith when you're on the water, which is, I think, a very important thing as well. Hunter Shryock has been our guest. Hunter, I appreciate you. You know, first, second, and third come on the show after every elite event. So, you know, hopefully we'll be talking again this year.
Hopefully. That would be awesome. I appreciate you having me on.
All right. Thank you. That's Hunter Shryock. Good kid. I like that guy. All right, let's get a break in here. When we come back, it's the Rapala Winner's Circle. Drew Benton is up next right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And as I said with Hunter Shryock, I didn't make the Phoenix guys finish 1-2 in this tournament. It just happened to be that way that they finished 1-2 in the tournament. And, you know, so now it's time for the Rapala Winner's Circle. And we're going to do this with Drew Benton. And, you know, I'll be honest. I'll be totally honest with you. In the 6 or 7 years that we've been doing Bassmaster Radio, I kind of had the feeling we'd talk to Drew Benton a little bit more in the Winner's Circle. We have talked to him. Certainly he's been on the show a number of times, but it seems you just get the feeling that he's got 3 or 4 of these trophies, but he did win his second one. So he's extremely competitive, and he joins us now in the Winner's Circle. Drew, welcome to the show. Congratulations on the win.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you joining us. And, you know, is there much pride? You know, in NASCAR, there's always a little bit of pride manufacturer-wise. You know what I mean? Whether it's a Ford or a Chevy or a Toyota. Is there much pride amongst guys that run, you know, the same boat manufacturers, like the Phoenix guys? They stick together like, hey, you know, we just finished 1-2 for Phoenix.
Yeah, you know, they build a heck of a boat, and I think everybody who runs one's proud to run one. You know, I've been with them, you know, my entire career, and as far as you know, bass boats go, hands down, they're the best boat built right now. And, you know, just thrilled to run them. And, yeah, we stick together a little bit. There's a, there's definitely a pride factor with all the Phoenix guys.
Kind of notice it, you know, and then the other thing you notice as time goes by, how many guys are running Phoenix. I think it's, I haven't counted them up, but it's like 23, 24, 25 guys, like a quarter of the field are running Phoenix, which is, it's pretty significant.
Well, I mean, you factor in all the places that we go, you know, up north, Big Water, and the places where we got to make long runs. And as far as a well-rounded, you know, well-built, fast, you know, great fishable boat, you cannot beat a Phoenix. I mean, it's just, that's all there is to it. It's one of the, like I said, one of the best out there, if not the best out there. And with that comes that pride.
Yeah. Do you guys ever like run over to Gary and be like, "Hey Gary, a screw backed out of my dashboard, you know, do you want to, can you do something about this?"
No.
Give him ideas for creature comforts, because I mean there's nothing like a Phoenix when it comes to creature comforts, you know. And I don't have the heated seats and the heated steering wheel. I didn't even know about that. Man, you know, that's not in my rig.
I'm going to tell you, I've had it the last couple of years, the heated seats, and don't knock it till you try it. I mean, especially these early spring mornings when it's cold. It's definitely nice.
Yeah. Drew Benton with us, coming off of his victory at the Bassmaster Elite, at the Marathon Bassmaster Elite at Lake Murray. And I said in the opening of the show today that the real star might have been Murray. I mean, my gosh, look at the number of 20-pound bags in this derby, and 87 pounds to win. I mean, it was amazing. A great, great fishery that you guys hit last week.
It really was. And you know, I've talked with some of the other anglers, and I'll be honest, it's probably one of the best fisheries that I've been to in years. I mean, when you can get up there on the bank and in the spring of the year and see what's swimming around and see the numbers of just quality fish swimming in that lake, it would just make your head spin. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, not just sight fishing, but when you would pull up on those points on, you know, a calm day and just see those wolf packs. There was one at one time, you know, I did the riprap thing, mm-hmm. but there was a point that I would end, you know, kind of my milk run on, and on that point had a little bit of rock on it. And every now and then I could get one of them to bite. And when I would get one to bite, they would be 40 to 50 bass. And I would say 3/4 of them over 4 pounds would follow the fish I had hooked to the boat. Mm. And then you would troll out there past them and there would be 40 or 50 more. And, you know, some in the 6 to 7, 8 pound range, just cruising around out there. That just shows you how healthy that fishery is. And it will be great for a long time, as long as, you know, you're taken care of. And it's just, it's got the food, it's got, you know, the cover, all the nooks and crannies for them to do their thing. It's just a phenomenal fishery.
Now, when you say sea, I was surprised at how clear that water was. I didn't realize that lake, you know, because when I think of the Carolinas, it seems like a lot of the places that you go, sometimes it's not, you know, it's a stained water. Now, when you say sea, are you talking about sea with your Lowrance, with your forward-facing sonar? Or are you talking about sea with your eyeballs, that there goes a school of bass, like they're sharks out there?
No, you could see them with your eyeballs. Nice. I mean, they get up there on those shallow points and kind of just wait, meander around for those schools of shad or, you know, herring to swim by, and then they school on them. So, and they don't hide, you know, they sit up there on them points, and if you get up there on a, you know, slick day, you can see them with your eyes.
Yeah, it's funny because Hunter Shryock just said the same thing about the shallow bass that he was catching in 5-6 inches of water, you know, up under the docks, right up against the bank. And I was like, you know, so they're still on bed? And he goes, no, they were just rounding up the shad, you know, early in the day. They were rounding mm-hmm. up the shad. And you were sight fishing for spawners earlier in the week, right? And but you had that same experience as the week went on, where you were finding them just gorging themselves on those on the shad.
Yeah, matter of fact, the last day, that's how I, you know, started my day. I went down. Brock Mosley gave me a little bit of a tip on day 3 in the back line about shad spawn going on down the lake. And I ran down there and what it was, everywhere there was a riprap point that had a little bit of shade on it, those fish were pulling up there in that shade, and that whole riprap bank would be lined with shad spawning. And the bass were sitting in that shade waiting to ambush them, and that's what they were using for cover. And I was just running from shade line to shade line, and that's how I got my start. I ended up having like 20 or 22 pounds in the box by, you know, 10:30 or 11. And then I went sight fishing and culled up a couple more times, you know, 6-pounders.
Yeah. And that won it for you. I mean, you know, catching those two late, that you did, that was ultimately what ended up winning it for you. Cause Hunter was having a good day, as well. Drew Brenton with us here. Now, by the way, I got to say, your fist bumps, I don't know about your cameraman. I got to believe that that guy was a little bit sore by the end of the day, a little aggressive with the fist bumps. I don't know if you've seen it yet on live, you know, if you've seen the replay of Bassmaster Live at all. But, I mean, there were some pretty good shots that you were giving him there when you were catching those 5- and 6-pounders.
Oh, that's David. He can take it, man.
Yeah, you
he
pounded him. It was like smack, you know. I was like, man, he get a little aggressive with the fist. We're going to knock your cameraman out of the boat.
I mean, when you're in the moment, you're in the moment, man. There's no fissy floating around.
Drew Benton with us. 87 pounds was the total for him. And just talk about as that day was going on, and you get to that point now where, you know, you have the 22 pounds, but now all of a sudden you had the day two lead. You didn't have a great day on day three. We'll get to that later, but you have the, you know, the 22 pounds in the boat early. When is it starting to sink in that, you know what, I got a chance to overtake this entire field, even though I started out in 10th. I'm going to go 10th to first here if I can get. Did you have a number in mind? Was 25, 26 a number that you felt like you needed?
Yeah, I thought 25. I had a realistic shot, 26, I thought, would do. And when I got to that 22 pounds, I felt like I had kind of maxed out, you know, for that little pattern that I was doing. And plus, the shade had gone away by that point in the day, and I was just getting followers, you know. So it was time for me to make a move and go to the bank and go, you know, hung up a couple on bed. And I thought if I found, because, you know, at that point, my smallest fish was a 4-pounder. So I thought if I, you know, traded out a 4-pounder for a 6-pounder, I would be knocking on the door. And ultimately, I did that. I culled it out with like a 6.5-pounder. And then a little bit later in the day, I found a 5-pounder, and I culled a 4.5 with a 5, so it gave me another 0.5 pound. It just worked out.
So you're feeling pretty good, I would imagine, by the time you were heading in. And when does it begin to sink in? I mean, when you're in the bag line, you guys are talking, you know that you've won this thing. I would imagine a lot of emotions flooding through your mind at that point.
Well, it really didn't sink in. I knew it was still going to be close because I guessed my weight a little bit on Bass Track, and I kind of did that just being in a hurry, and I really didn't know exactly what I had. So I knew it was going to be close. If, you know, Hunter would have fudged a little bit too, it would have been even closer. So until Hunter weighed in, I knew he was the one I had to worry about. And until he actually weighed in, you know, it could have went either way. Yeah. I really didn't know. And, but once he had weighed in, I pretty much knew I had it at that point. But yeah, it was a crazy day, and a crazy like wave of emotions. You go from thinking you're completely out of it to, hey, you know, I'm having a good day, it might be my day too, I've got a legit shot too, I just did it, you know. And it's crazy how bass fishing is. There's no other sport like it that you can go from that quick of a momentum swing.
Drew Benton is our guest. We'll come back with more in the Rapala Winner Circle next, right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bass Master Radio. We're visiting with Drew Benton in Arapahoe Winner Circle, coming off of his win. $102,000 with the contingencies is what he wins at the Marathon Bassmaster Elite at Lake Murray. He is off to a great start to this season. No points, Drew, at the Classic, but you were fourth at the Classic. I mean, you know, and that's a completely different kind of waterway. That was a grinder if there ever was one. 22nd at Seminole. That's a lake that you know obviously very, very well. The tough start at Okeechobee, but climbing that list right now big time on the Angler of the Year points.
Yeah, you know, the goal, obviously, each year, actually, I had three goals this year, honestly. Make the Classic, contend for AOI, and win an event. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've knocked one of those out already. We're well on our way to qualifying for the Classic. We just got to keep consistency. And if we can turn in some mediocre finishes to top 20 or top 10s, we'll contend for AOI. And that's the name of the game. That's, you know, kind of what everybody strives for at the beginning of the year. And it's one of those things. You gotta get on a roll, and you gotta, you know, string some good finishes together. And I'm a big momentum guy. Usually whenever, you know, things start going my way, I can string a few top tens together. And, I'm hoping that we're on one of those rolls now. We're here at Santee. It's fishing, you know, okay for the way that I like to fish. So we'll just have to kind of see how it goes the rest of the year.
Yeah. Drew Benton was top 10 last time at Santee last year. So those of you that are listening to this, obviously now over the weekend, we're going to assume that Drew is still fishing because he's going to be very competitive there. We'll just put that pressure on him, you know, right now. But, you know, you're one of the great sight fishermen out there. Everybody knows that's your thing. That's your bag. But you don't want to be pigeonholed as just a sight fisherman. You grabbed a square bill and went down the bank, as you said, on that shade line, a little help from Brock Mosley, you know, to find that, you know, that pattern and use that pattern. But that, you know, the fish aren't spawning all over, you know, all year long. You got a long season yet to go. Just talk about that a little bit, about the versatility, you know, beyond just being a guy that's going to climb up on the front of your boat and eyeball them.
Yeah, that, I mean, that you hit the nail on the head. To be consistent in this game and be consistent, you know, for a whole career, you have to be versatile. You can't go to a place that is a herring lake and be scared to run points and herring fish, or you can't go to a smallmouth fishery and say, you know, I'm not going to fish for smallmouth. I'm going to fish for largemouth. You've got to do what it takes to win at that place every week and be comfortable doing that. And I've tried my whole career to be well-rounded and add as many tools to my toolbox as I can. At each place, I'm always learning, always picking up new stuff. And that's really the name of the game. Just no matter where you're at, just feel comfortable doing whatever it takes, whatever technique, whatever lure, even if it's something you're not comfortable with, find a way to be comfortable with it and find a way to make it work. And that's a lot of guys will say, you know, I just stick to my strengths, or, you know, that's great. But at the end of the day, sometimes my strengths aren't what's going to take the win, and I've got to figure out how to make that happen. So that's kind of my mindset whenever I, you know, travel the country and fish these different places, is I try to just try to do what I think it's going to take to win and figure it out on the fly.
Drew Benton with us here, coming off of his victory at Lake Murray. Tell us more about this Big Bites Fighting Frog, because anybody that's followed you at all or that follows bass at all, every time you're on camera, every time you're bed fishing or whatever it is that you're doing, we hear about the Fighting Frog, and it seems to be the thing that you want to throw into those beds. But, you know, the other uses for it, is this something that you'll pitch around wood, around, you know, punching with it and so on, or is it just strictly a bait that you like to use on beds?
No, I absolutely pitch it around. I'll flip bushes with it, flip wood with it. Anytime I'm flipping a soft plastic, I'm flipping a Fighting Frog. It's just a bait that mimics, you know, pretty much everything. It can mimic a crawfish, it can mimic a bluegill, a shad, you know, whatever it is that the primary forage is there in the lake. It's got that shape that can be all of those. So And two, it's great bed fishing bait because of the crawfish and the bluegill. Mm-hmm. So I'll typically pitch a couple different colors, either watermelon red and green pumpkin or tilapia magic. Right. Those two colors right there really get it done for me. I might mix in a white if I really need to see the bait and kind of see where I'm pitching. But for the most part, those two colors get it done. And it's just one of those things where I have a ton of confidence in that bait. I have a ton of, you know, wherever we're at. And that's the name of the game when it comes to sight fishing. It's just finding a bait that you have confidence in. And I just know that if I get that thing in their bed and shake it around, they're going to bite it.
Yeah, well, the one thing it doesn't imitate is a frog. I mean, it's a fighting frog. We, you know, right. Except for those little hands that it has. I don't know what's going on with that. I don't know who came up with that idea. But it's got those little hands like a little frog, you know, and I'm like, really? But, it you know, it's really a great-looking creature bait and has tremendous action. There's no doubt about that. Drew Benton with us here. I'll tell you what. You had that – when you had that one hooked in the back – that was when I knew you were going to win the tournament. When you landed that fish, because I'm thinking, how is this fish staying stuck? Because you fought it forever and ever. And if you don't have them hooked in the mouth, you can't control the fish as well. Obviously, right. You know, fish is swimming away from you and so on. And you're fighting it like it's a 9-pounder. It was a good fish. But because he was hooked in a foul hook, basically, it's a little bit different. But, you know, what was your level of confidence that you were going to get that one in? Because I was like, there's no way that thing doesn't rip out of that fish's, you know, the meat of its, you know, the side of its head, if you will.
Yeah, I actually had my drag loosened up all the way. I was thumbing my reel. Mm-hmm. And whenever he wanted to take the line, I let him take it. And funny story, I actually landed a fish similar to that fashion at the Travis event.
I remember that, yeah.
And I shouldn't have landed it. And when something like that happens, you kind of, and that was early in the day, so I really didn't know at that point, but you kind of feel like it's going your way when stuff like that happens. You say, hey, this might be my day. And that's a lot of fishing happens that way. You know, whenever it's your time to win one of these things, they tell you. I mean, it's not like, it's like everything in the universe is lined up and going your way. And when stuff like that happens, it can, and it didn't just happen to me. It happened to Hunter. You saw him land some fish that, you know, had him wrap around a dock post. But when things are going your way, they're going your way. And you kind of start to get that feeling that this, you know, might be my day. And that's exactly how I felt.
Well, it certainly was your day. You get the big victory, the 100 grand, the blue trophy, and you've been close. And you, like you say, momentum is a big thing. You break through, and I can't wait to see the next episode of the cut line. There was no cut for you in this deal. Cook had a decent event as well, and you can check it all out with the cut line, the YouTube series, the cut line with Drew Benton and Drew Cook. And I'll tell you what, it's been a blast to watch that show. And this one is going to be a really fun episode.
Yeah, we just try to show everybody kind of a different look of each one of these events and kind of what we face and practice to where we stay, you know, how we work together, everything that's kind of behind the scenes at one of these events. People can go to our YouTube channel, watch the episodes, and kind of get a feel for what it's like to be an Elite Series angler. And it's not always sunshine and rainbows.
No.
You know, the Lake Murray event will be a great episode from a standpoint of success, but they're not always that way.
No.
I mean, and you'll see that if you watch some seasons with us. You'll know that every tournament's a grind, and you know, we're just out here trying to make a good living.
Good stuff with Drew Benton. All right, Drew, I appreciate you as always. Congrats on the win. Remember, top three come on the show after every event, so who knows? You know, maybe we'll be talking again sometime this summer.
Hey, that sounds good.
All right, man. Appreciate you. Drew Benton, great fisherman. Great fisherman. I'd forgotten that it had been a minute since he had actually won, because it just feels like he's always on the leaderboard. Let's get a couple of notes in here before we put the Bassmaster Radio Phoenix back on the trailer. If you're looking for the best sublimated fishing jerseys, the best in the business is Valley Fashions. I mean, they have all the major logos, and they will set up your artwork for you, and they'll get your jerseys turned around quickly. Valley Fashions has incredible stock designs, or they'll work with you on a custom design. Valley Fashions has done our jerseys at Bassmaster Radio for the last several years. I could not be happier with them. Visit VFOutdoors.com to get your order started today. Whether it's long sleeve, short sleeve, hoodies, and more, it's VFOutdoors.com. Now, remember, if you missed any of this week's show, it's always available. Just a click away at Bassmaster.com/radio, or just hit the Nation button and click on Bassmaster Radio. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.